Simply Abundant Intuitive Hour, The Journey of Attachment, a special series that takes a deep dive into the topic of insecure attachment and why you can't let go. Here's Tracy Crossley.
Greetings, how y'all doing? I'm not going to break out in song, in case you thought that's what was going to happen. It's not. So, we don't have to worry about that on this show, folks. No, we don't. But I have another entertaining, and that was kind of facetious of me to say that, entertaining journey of attachment. And this is sex and emotional intimacy, or the lack of emotional intimacy, or the only way I get intimacy. And I have done a podcast. In fact, I don't remember which one it is. It was in this attachment series, and it was on the intensity of that kind of sexual attraction, that intensity, that drug. Well, this is a little bitty different. So I'm going to be talking about how we have people who have, I just said that twice. We have people that have. I have a thing about words where I don't like to use the same words over and over. I realize that sometimes I have to, especially when I'm trying to explain something, so that it becomes familiar as a concept to people. But I don't need to say have as every other word. Just wanted to point that out. So when it comes to how people, and I've got an upcoming podcast. In fact, next week I'll be talking about avoidance. And so I'll delve a little bit into avoidance right now. I'm gonna delve into the whole shebang here about intimacy and avoidance and anxious people. So a lot of people that are avoidance may completely avoid sex. They will either avoid sex, or when they have sex, it's a casual sexual encounter. And these are people that are avoidance. Not necessarily avoidant anxious, but just avoidance, because they're so numb and blocked off that they don't or can't allow themselves to feel anything emotionally, right? They're compartmentalized to the nth degree. And if anybody's doing compartmentalization, they're not really emotionally present, so therefore they cannot emotionally connect. And so they have a whole other approach to being intimate, which is physically intimate. But again, they're still not checked in. They're still not there. And for some, they just avoid it altogether because that's really super scary, because they may feel intense emotions. You may be able to, as an avoidant, not realize that you're an avoidant anxious until you have sex. And then all of a sudden you're overcome with, oh my God, I can't live without this person. Now, this isn't all avoidance, because there's avoidance that will stay completely blocked, right? Or they'll have, like I said, they'll have casual sex. And as long as it stays casual, they're okay. If anything develops, they won't. And a lot of times I notice that I'll get clients who are avoidance, but they're avoidant anxious also. They're not just avoidant, but they'll attract somebody who's an avoidant. And so the person that is slightly more avoidant and less anxious, or maybe not anxious at all, seems to have the control in that situation, because they'll come together for a friends with benefits sort of situation, and then they can back out of it easier, or seemingly easier, because they've compartmentalized themselves so well emotionally, or at least, I shouldn't say so well, but well enough that they pull back and they can pull it all back. Okay? Meanwhile, the other person's coming forward and going, wait, I felt something. I don't want to let go of that. And now you've awakened something in me, and they're a nervous wreck, right? They're having anxiety attacks. And so there is those who, again, engage in casual sex, but those who avoid altogether. And that is the way they may live, because they don't feel secure. Here's the thing. They don't know what secure attachment is. People aren't assholes on purpose. People are assholes because it's something they learned at a young age to survive. And they may glorify it. They may think it's okay. This doesn't mean that they're going, oh my gosh, I'm an avoidant. I'm fucked up. I need help. Because it may be the only way they cope. So if that's you, that's pretty much what we're talking about. And you may be so numb, you don't even realize why you do what you do. And that's okay if you don't realize you do, you know, why you do what you do. And you want to stay there, because I got no judgment about that. Everybody's got to choose what works for them or not. And for most people that can maintain the friends with benefit thing, that's what they do. They have to do the push-pull. They're not going to have sex every night. If they had sex every night with you, they would find themselves feeling not able to manage, okay, by compartmentalizing and numbing out. They wouldn't be able to manage their emotions. And if you're the one who's wanting more and you're an avoidant who's getting anxious, then let's say they want to sleep with you five nights a week. You're going to be like, whoa. I don't know about that. You're not going to be able to handle that. See, that avoidant or avoidant anxious, either one, you're going to do that shit. Okay? So it is a push-pull. And it is not based on anything. It's a power struggle, but it's a power struggle of pain. So it's not a power struggle of winning. That's what I was going to say. It's not based on winning. It's not based on being better or craftier. It's about avoiding your emotions is what it's about. And that gets to be pretty fucking old, if you ask me. It's not a way to live. All of these things that I talk about when it comes to insecure attachment and sex come back to wanting to not have, on one level, emotional intimacy, but still physiologically being wired for intimacy. Right? It's like wanting to go to the flame, but backing off from the flame. And the flame that isn't going to burn you, right? It's just a pretend flame. I have fun with coming up with analogies sometimes that make no sense, but to me. No, really, it's about coming closer to something, like you want dessert, but you're going to deny yourself dessert. And you really want it. You've been working towards whatever it is you feel you got to do to have dessert. I don't feel like I got to do anything anymore. I just have dessert. But when it comes to that, there is this diet, an emotional diet that you stay on. And it's no fun. Emotional intimacy is key to feeling happy. Being emotionally intimate with yourself, first of all. So you even know what you want. You know where you are. You know what sort of needs you have, desires. Otherwise, you're just fooling yourself. So there's that. And then people who are the anxious type, they have an issue too, because they're craving emotional closeness on the one hand, but not even knowing what the fuck that looks like. I'm not talking about people with secure attachment. I'm talking about insecure attachment. They have this desire. And there are people, of course, the avoidant anxious, who gets into that wanting it, thinking they can't get it. Nobody's going to give it to them. There's something wrong with them. They're completely flawed. They're having to do without. And this can go for the avoidant anxious or the anxious. See, the avoidant anxious kind of flips both sides, right? So then, you know, the anxious is feeling as though they're never going to have what they want because they're trying to get it. They're trying to get gas from a pump that's out of gas. They can't get it. And it fits in with what they didn't receive as a kid. And so it's just this totally crazy dynamic that we find ourselves in. And the problem is, as an anxious person in this case, and the avoidant anxious, I'm including you guys in here. So just know, anytime I say the word anxious, I'm including you guys in that group, okay? That even though you want emotional closeness and you want to be in a committed romantic relationship, at least in your head, in your fantasy, you have trouble maintaining that kind of relationship. That kind of relationship is something you've never had. And for most people that are falling in the anxious category, they're not really up for accepting casual sex outside of a committed relationship. But, and of course there's a but, because they want a relationship so badly, the one in the fantasy in their head, they may put themselves in the position of taking a risk, right? Not an emotional risk of I'm going to be vulnerable and open, but they're going to go ahead and they're going to have those one night stands. They're going to do things against themselves because they're hoping that lands them the person that they've been wanting. Maybe I'll just sleep with them and they'll get so hooked, I'll have them as a lover forever. They'll be my mate. They'll marry me. Or maybe if I bake brownies for them all the time and then go fuck them, they'll say, great, you're my new girlfriend or boyfriend. And it doesn't work that way. And the point is, because if you really could see your own dynamic being stuck in that cycle, you could see what you're actually trying to do. You're trying to get somebody to give you something that doesn't have any interest in giving it to you at all. It's like you're trying to get pizza from the milkman, okay? You're not going to get it. But we keep trying because that's what we're used to. We're used to trying to get love from somebody who didn't want to give it or gave it sporadically or in some capacity would make us feel rejected by our own needs as a child. So a lot of anxious people don't feel independent, don't feel they can get along all by themselves, are constantly in a state of searching. I know people that are constantly in a state of searching. They go from one fucked up relationship to the next. And they're anxious and they want it. And they're like, oh, I gotta have somebody. I can't be alone. I can't be alone because what's that going to mean about me? What's that going to say? And so they'll take bullshit that they get, and meaning they're on the first date and the person's like, I want to marry you. And then they go home and fuck them. And then they find out the next day that that's just bullshit, right? And it's because they're looking for it. And I'm not saying this is in every case, but most, unless, you know, you meet somebody that's love at first sight and hey, that could happen. I'm not going to deny that that could happen. But my point is, they often find themselves in these situations where they feel out of control. And so listening to somebody and waiting for somebody to say, hey, I'm here to rescue you and sweep you off your feet, instead of you being in a place where you're rescuing yourself and you're taking care of yourself, you end up screwed, right? But you don't know it. See, this is the thing. I'm trying to point out these patterns because we don't know that it's conditioning. It has nothing to do with who we are. A lot of times you'll have a negative belief that you're supposed to be alone or you're afraid of being alone. And so you fall into these situations with people who aren't going to give you what you want and will give you the evidence that you're going to end up alone. And it's all make-believe. That's a bullshit belief. It's not even true. But you've got to challenge it. You have to challenge all of these beliefs. And you do it in situations, you do it step by step. And not that I'm talking linear steps. I'm talking, you have to break it down smaller, right? You can't go big. You got to start small because you really got to start getting honest with yourself about your own patterns in your romantic relationships. Whether you're in one or out of one, you want to be able to see yourself clearly. How often do you have unwanted sex? In other words, you have sex for the purpose of getting somebody to be with you. You set yourself up to be used. I have air quotes going because there's no such thing. You consent, you're in it, right? You don't consent, that's a whole other story, and we're not talking about that. But I'm talking about where you've given your consent and you have a purpose. Yeah, you want somebody to fall in love with you sexually, you know, through sex. You want to hook them. And so you're willing to do things that you didn't want to do, or you're allowing yourself to be pressured because you really, really want that person. And you figure, well, maybe if I sleep with them, they'll finally be with me. And maybe that person's making all sorts of fucked up promises to you. And so you say, okay, and you do it. But again, it's all part of the pattern because our subconscious is so smart. It looks for the familiar. All of this is about the familiar. You haven't had emotional intimacy. You got to break that pattern of looking for the familiar, or when you find the familiar, to actually do something different. Oh yeah. To do something different. That has emotional impact. Not just to do something different for the hell of it. Okay, because that doesn't really equate into much emotional impact. People who are anxious and afraid of losing their partner may sleep with their partner over and over. And I'm not saying their partner as in they're in a committed relationship, but I'm talking sex partner. If they're afraid of losing them, they're going to keep sleeping with them. A lot of people use it. Somebody's breaking up with them. Uh-oh, I'll come fuck you and make you dinner and give you a pedicure. And the other person's like, well, I'm bored tonight. Okay, sure, come over. And the person who's the one that is more anxious, let's say, goes running over there thinking they have a chance, or at least the delusion that they're back in the same pattern. They can breathe a sigh of relief. They know things will continue as it's been, and they don't have to worry that it's going to go away. Meanwhile, the person that's saying, sure, come over and fuck me, because they're bored, is bullshitting themselves too. They're hiding out emotionally. Both people are hiding out emotionally because nobody's being honest. And the one that's the avoidant, that's saying, sure, come over, feels they have all the power over themselves. Well, I'm not going to fall into this. I'm just going to have fun tonight. And then I'm going to pull back and not come forward, right? Or maybe they're doing a dance with somebody where the anxious person gets pissed off or whatever, and then the avoidant has an excuse to avoid. Or the anxious person is trying to get closer and closer, and the avoidant comes up with their own damn excuses, right? And the avoidant anxious is just screwed, you know, because you're not dealing with your emotions, and yet you're getting anxious, right? So avoidant, you're not dealing with your emotions, and then you get triggered by somebody you find, you've got this crazy chemistry or whatever, and you don't know what to do with yourself, right? But there's nothing about emotional intimacy here. Nada. So unfortunately, when there isn't any of that, what can you actually expect? Right? Because the bottom line is, those that are anxious are going to be talking to their friends about this stuff. Avoidance may or may not, unless they're avoidant anxious. But avoidance, they're not going to. They're not even going to let this get into their head space or their heart space, I should say. They're just going to avoid. So they're not going to have to go talk to their friends. But most people who are anxious will need to talk to their friends about all the anxiety that they're going through. How bad they feel. Because they do. So somebody who has the anxious style, right? Remember, I'm including avoidant anxious in here. The problem is wanting emotional intimacy requires vulnerability. And as somebody who is usually seeking out an avoidant or perhaps another anxious, but that really isn't usually what happens. Anxious and anxious don't normally go together. Anyway, there is this not understanding of what the hell vulnerability is. Most people who fall into the victim category, right, of being in that, oh my God, I got to have somebody, please fill up my cup, are going to be manipulative in what they share. You're not going to be truthful and vulnerable. Because if you're going to be truthful and vulnerable, then you're really moving into the more secure attachment, and you're not going to be anxious or so anxious. And so there's a difference. And you only can go on what you know. See, none of this is to beat you up. I am so not about that. I'm just about, hey, can you recognize some things that could actually help you to feel better? That's all. The bottom line is, you'll just keep going through this thinking you're so vulnerable. But I guarantee you that if you have the anxious type, you're not going to be vulnerable because you're not going to trust yourself, and you're not going to trust the situation is actually going to last. You're going to feel like you're going to be abandoned, and you're going to be working more toward not being abandoned. And so emotional intimacy requires vulnerability. Obviously, people that are avoidants aren't going there. They're not going to go there. People that are, you know, feeling anxious, they're wanting to go there, but they don't know how. Because they don't even know why they feel what they feel. Because if you look at what's really going on between them and the other person, there's not an intimate connection. So there's some kind of an illusion that has to be going on to keep you there. And that's old shit too. So when you have somebody who's withholding from you, and then you're trying to say it's them, you got to look at yourself. You've got the same issue. It's just on a different level. So emotional and sexual intimacy can be different things. And they usually are when it comes to insecure attachment. For those that are securely attached, it is one and the same. Not a problem. You intermingle it because there's a sense of deep sharing, of deep connection. So it's about opening yourself. Again, when you have one of these insecure attachment styles going on, you are usually able to have some kind of sexual intimacy, but it's based on some other outcome than the two of you ending up in the same place emotionally, because it has to be. You may want to force it, but your idea of what emotional intimacy is versus the other person could be totally different, and the other person may not be thinking emotional intimacy anyway. So we go through these different, I would say, mental, because the emotional may be shut off, but we go through these different mental gymnastics. And unfortunately, we don't necessarily ever end up happy. The key is about how you're excluding intimacy emotionally that you crave. And so for a lot of people who don't have an understanding that it's not about getting this person to do anything or getting anybody to do anything, getting anybody to do anything against their will, I'm not saying you're forcing them, but against their better judgment, whatever you want to call it. And it's really not judgment. It's hopefully a feeling of, wow, I'm not respecting myself or taking care of myself, and I'm going to go ahead and do that for this person. And when you do that, just know you're driving another nail in the coffin. If you're doing it to get somebody, forget it. You are totally driving a nail in. And then you got to ask yourself, why am I doing that? So knowing that somebody is an avoidant, they're going to feel trapped at some point if you are the person who is the anxious one coming after them. They're going to want to run. They're going to get that desire to bolt. They might feel like they're bored. They might feel like you're smothering them. Then they might focus on your shortcomings and they want to disengage. Oh, yeah. When I have clients that are avoidance or avoidant anxious and they start start dating somebody who's anxious or securely attached, okay, what may happen is that, and I've heard this because I have a lot of clients that fall in this category, they'll be totally focused on perceived shortcomings the other person has. And these shortcomings, I'm telling you, it could be hair color, it could be the money they earn, it could be the way they keep their home. It could be what kind of home they live in. I talked to somebody who's like, yeah, I won't go out and take this person seriously because they live in a condo. And I can never imagine myself living in a condo. Really? This is nothing to the relationship. It's just a dumb excuse. And I mean a dumb excuse because if you really look at what your deal breakers are, of why you can't get close to somebody, you need to reflect that back in the mirror. If it's things like that, where you're looking for the problem so you can back the fuck up. So a lot of times when it comes to emotional intimacy, There's a fantasy around it for everybody. That avoidant is waiting for the perfect partner to have their emotional intimacy with. That perfect partner is never going to show up in a million years, but I'm going to wait. Or they may meet somebody and think that that's the perfect partner, and then they become anxious. And then they're screwed because that person is probably avoidant also. See, it just goes in a circle. So you can have so many different ways of doing this. You might have people who go from one shitty, fucked up relationship to another as an avoidant, meaning they just create havoc in one place. Okay, I'm out of here. Go to another place, create havoc. And not that the other person isn't creating havoc too. They both are. And so then you have the anxious person who is a serial dater. I've known them. And they just keep dating thinking it's the other person. Both parties think it's the other person. And fortunately, they're not really looking at why the fuck they're avoiding emotional intimacy. They don't get that their fears of abandonment that happened as a kid are what are taking them forward in life. Like, they, as adults, haven't tuned into the fact they're still reacting like they're 5 years old emotionally. A lot of us do. We're stuck in those patterns when we didn't have the capacity to see the world with the perception of the world being so much bigger than what we thought it was or what we felt it was. Most of us were just trying to escape pain. And so we didn't get the healthy bonding. And so we got something else. And that was distance or inconsistency. Something that made us go, okay, I need to avoid getting hurt constantly. So I'm not going to allow myself to be emotionally intimate with anybody. So there is the feeling of, you listen to people go, oh, my relationships don't work out. And you start questioning what's going on and you find out that they have mistaken sex, right? The having sex is hopefully starting emotional intimacy, and then they're having sex with somebody they don't even really know. And then they can't figure out why they feel bad. I mean, it just goes around in circles. And you got to want to stop. You got to want to experience so much more for yourself. And if you don't, it's okay. But you want to know what's making you tick. You want to make sure that when you look at yourself, okay, and you wonder, okay, so, hey, I am a person who's been single for years, never married, and yet never married, never really in a relationship, but there is a fear of intimacy. There is, and I'm talking emotional intimacy. I don't care if you're the anxious one or the avoidant one. There are people who may avoid dating, and people who are anxious may avoid it. That's why you're an avoidant anxious, because they're afraid of getting hurt, right? People who put all their time and energy into work, and even if they're married or what have you, it's another way of avoiding. Or the person who is so overprotective, I brought that up before, the overprotective person over everybody in their life, not just their family, but it could be everybody, right? They're taking care of everybody. You don't get emotional intimacy with people that way because it's a one-sided relationship. Just like the person who keeps choosing to be in one relationship after another. You can't establish intimacy that way. You don't have intimacy with yourself. You have to spend some time alone getting to know yourself. And the thing is that there's so many people that do one of my favorite things, and that is they sabotage the shit out of the relationship sexually before they can even get it going off the ground. And they will avoid. And it's funny because a lot of people will say they're not avoiding and they are avoiding. And I see it all the time. That's why I have this thing about, I don't know how many true anxious people there are that aren't avoidant at all. I believe they are because I see it. And so when you're feeding into the whole sexual part, so somebody who's been single a long time, maybe they got a lot of friends and they avoid dating, that's the person who's like, I don't want intimacy of any sort, and gets a little bit of a hit because at least they have friends, they have things to do. But it can feel like a complete void because there's not the emotional intimacy you would get from having a partner you could be emotionally intimate with. But they avoid sex. And the same thing perhaps with somebody who's working all the time. The person who has tied up their energy anywhere that has nothing to do with emotional intimacy is more than likely avoiding it, or is avoiding it. And that includes sexually. Even if we are thinking, well, I am going to go ahead and have sex with George tonight. I know I've only known him 3 days, but perhaps we'll get closer that way. And that's just not true. There's people who get into porn. Not that there's anything wrong with porn. I have no problem with porn. But when you use it to replace intimacy, like some people use it to replace sex, or they can't get off because they can only get off watching porn, masturbating to it, right? And then they can't get off with the other person. They're avoiding all intimacy, really. They may have sex, but they don't get off, right? Or they feel that they can't get off, and it's related to that. And I'm not talking about you have physical issues or what have you, but I'm saying there is a purpose to that kind of avoidance. And so that can come up in the bedroom. And the person who just wants to have casual sex all the time and can be okay with just having casual sex with different partners. But if anybody wants to get close, oh, forget that shit. I'm not doing that. No siree. And that doesn't serve a purpose in terms of your own personal happiness and having emotional intimacy. Or people that seek out abusive people and maybe they have sex with them hoping that when that person is having sex with them, that they're going to be like, I love you, I love you, I love you. And they may, but then they're going to be abusive afterwards. Or they don't want to get into any kind of closeness whatsoever and want an abusive person who has obviously no intention of getting close to them whatsoever. Or somebody who uses drugs and alcohol to escape themselves, to numb out, and then somehow they're going to turn into somebody you can have emotional intimacy with. You can't even really have sexual intimacy with them. So this is the thing. We do this over and over and over and over and over again. These cycles of, I don't want to have emotional intimacy, but I'm going to tell everybody that I do. And I can't get there. I can't get there because I block it. And that's the truth. It is. I was freaking misavoidant. I completely understand how that is. And the thing is that you can tell yourself all the excuses in the world, but if you don't feel good, you need to look at why you have excuses. Major importante here, okay? Major. And when it comes to wanting closeness, what do you got to do? You know what you got to do. You got to get vulnerable. You have to get vulnerable. And you are going to have to open yourself up. Open completely. Okay? That is awesome, by the way. I will tell you that having openness emotionally and physically with somebody is fucking amazing when you trust yourself and you trust them. Totally different. You want to talk about growing? And I'm not talking painful growing. I'm talking pleasurable growing. I'm talking about establishing a normal in your life that you may have thought all of your insecure attachment sex was the be-all, end-all because you had that whole abandonment thing going on, right, that I talked about. I want to call it the intensity of sex or something, sex being a drug. That was the one I did. But this one is really important in terms of you have to look at your limited view of what you think is possible for you. That's where that comes from. So when you allow yourself to open emotionally and then you become physical with somebody, you have to still keep getting out of your own way. But you keep opening and opening and getting closer and closer, and you realize you're not swallowed up. You're not eaten up by it. Or if you're somebody who feels a sense of anxiety, you're not going to be anxious because you are having stability with someone else And that's because you're being stable. You're being consistent. You need to be consistent. Meaning, you have to consistently open to yourself. You have to consistently say, okay, what can I do to challenge my fear? Who am I waiting to have rescue me? What am I waiting for in terms of the green light, let's say from the universe or God or whatever it is you believe? What am I doing? What am I waiting for in terms of being real? What am I afraid if other people knew about me, they might reject me? So maybe I'll just be this sexual creature and they'll love sex so much that I can open up emotionally. I mean, there's just so many stories we tell ourselves, whether you're an avoidant or you're an anxious. And it's to really get clarity and say, here I am. Okay. Here I am. And I'm just this person. I'm an authentic person. And I'm meaning you're an authentic person. And that means that you have to take in all of your flaws and wear them. I have all these flaws. I have a fucking shitload of flaws. And I feel fortunate that I have somebody who uses the word sweet and cute to describe me constantly, which is wonderful, and which is something that I never really saw myself as if you would have asked me in the past. But it also comes from having a lot of depth in this relationship where emotional intimacy is exchanged physically as well. It's like a really great balance. And it doesn't leave you needy. And it doesn't leave you needing to close up shop and get away from the person and do the push-pull. That's the difference. Healthy emotional intimacy, whether you're having sex or you're just having emotional intimacy before sex or whatever, doesn't leave you in this place of emptiness or of wanting to back off so you don't feel anything. It leaves you getting closer and closer. It's so the opposite. And it's cool. And it's fun. Because it should be fun. Sex should be fucking awesome fun. And emotional intimacy can be too. It's really cool to feel that feeling of relaxation that you get from being emotionally intimate. Because you've been emotionally intimate with yourself. So you've already started establishing that in your life, and then you start doing it with another person, and lo and behold, you have a really awesome relationship going on. Nobody's hiding anything, coming forth with whatever, and there's just this bond that keeps developing, and it's pretty damn cool. And everybody should experience it, but you've got to want, as I'm always going to say, to get vulnerable, to be coming out with your feelings clearly to yourself first, to the other person, bringing them in. But if you don't have a partner, you can do this on your own. Do this with friends. Do this with people you wouldn't normally do it with. Start being emotionally intimate with the world. And do it as you can, not as, oh my God, I better do this now, otherwise I'm screwed. You know what I mean? Like a lot of times we'll set ourselves up to do it perfectly and you don't want to do that. And you will make mistakes and you still have to be okay with that. That's what I mean. Like you don't have to do anything in terms of following an instruction guide, but to get to where you feel good and you can be emotionally intimate and not blaming and not trying to fight or sabotage or create blocks that start to fuck up your whole relationship. Let's say you're in a relationship or wanting to get in one, you got to develop it with yourself. How are ways that I stand in the way of getting close to somebody emotionally? And then you got to take yourself in hand and you got to go for it. Hold your own hand and jump in. It's the only way to get there. Feel your feelings. Where do you feel it? Your chest, your stomach, where are they hiding? Remember, whenever you have something emotional happen, your body at that time was holding a position. There's muscle memory. Go right for it and check it out. Oh, I'm feeling this. Okay, I'm going to sit with these feelings for a bit. And then I'm going to do something vulnerable by sharing what I would never share in the past, which is a truth. And of course, again, it's not about blaming the other person. It's about you sharing a truth, about you taking responsibility for yourself as an adult, your own emotional state, not how somebody's done wrong by you, because that is subjective, and how you perceive something and how you walked away with it, okay? But you made the choice to be there in the first place, and that's what we forget. So you want to make sure that you spend time doing these things, because if you don't, you're going to feel like shit all the time until you wake up and go, I don't want to feel like shit anymore. I want to do something different. So I need to sit with my feelings, and then I need to be vulnerable and state things, not about blame, but about how I feel or my flaws or my insecurities or whatever it is you got to own, and you own it and you go for it. All right. Alrighty, folks, have a good one, and I hope that was helpful. Take care. Bye-bye.
Questions about today's show? Reach out to Tracy at info@tracycrossley.com. And if you're listening on iTunes, please leave a 5-star rating for the show so it can be heard by more people. For all things Tracy, check out tracycrossley.com.